Hi, Pathway family. This is Robbie. I'm sitting on the front porch, which is my favorite place to sit and think. I miss you all. I love you, and I hope you're all well. I can't wait to see you again and give you a huge Robbie hug. I love you all.
Pathway family, it is our 20th anniversary, Tina and I, and we are missing you all deeply. Today it hit me that I have not been with my co-workers for now 2 weeks, and also not with my Pathway family. I just want to say we miss you all, we love you,
yes.
And also, I miss getting together with all the family before Pathway at our fellowship. I miss the food. I miss our time together talking. But, you know, we'll be together soon. As Wendell said, we're going to have a lot to be thankful and learn through this time. So,
yes.
We love you all. We're at home on our anniversary, but we're making the best out of it.
Yes.
Y'all have a great night.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
High Pathway community. Greetings from myself and the Salmonator. Can you wave, Sammy? We just want to send our love to everyone. We want to, here is, I've got, you know, we all need haircuts and right now, and probably need some toilet paper, some paper towels. We're all in the same shoes in so many ways, but one thing that we can lean on, count on, embrace, and know is that our love for one another will not change and never will change. We are in a place where we can love more and love greater. And so we send our greetings to our Pathway community, missing everyone dearly, missing the times together, and looking forward to when we can celebrate communally again. So have a wonderful, wonderful day, a reasonably wonderful day. Peace.
Hey, Pathway family, welcome back to Virtual Pathway. I'm Lewis. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I am in recovery for physical and racial abuse when I was a kid, and I really, really, really struggle with anger and anxiety and trust. Today,
hey, we're Lewis.
Hi, Wendell. Today we're gonna have a conversation about what Pathway is, and I think more importantly, what Pathway isn't. And Wendell's gonna kick that off for us tonight. So I'm gonna throw it over there to Wendell.
Hey, Pathway family. Obviously, it's not night. You can see me squinting, and it's not because I'm in pain. It's because I'm in the full sunshine on my back deck, and it's actually warm out here. But it's kind of hard to shoot this sitting inside when you can be out in this. So anyway, I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by Jesus these days and actually discovering new stuff about that love, which is pretty cool. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to work and food and control. I've had issues with porn and alcohol, rage and panic and depression.
Hi, Wendell.
Hey, Lou. Hey, everybody else. We thought we would just take this chance, this opportunity that we have with recording these sessions to maybe have an orientation session. That may not be the right word, but an orientation session about what Pathway is all about. The larger Broadway family is very curious about Pathway. And they ask questions about Pathway. And a lot of times their assumption is that Pathway is kind of like Broadway's version of AA or Al-Anon or something like that. Or they have some other kind of, it's just for addicts. It's just for alcoholics. They have like a stereotype in their mind of what it is. And so we just want to talk about that. And really, to start this discussion, it's best to start with what Pathway is not. And we, Lewis and I will both tell you straight up, everybody else will, Pathway is not Broadway's version of AA or Al-Anon at all. We do use some steps. We use 8 steps instead of 12. We make tokens or chips, whatever you want to call them, available to those who are keeping track of time. Either in their small groups or just in their sobriety or their whatever the issue is, how long they've been working on their issue. Those are the similarities with A and Al-Anon. But other than that, we're not like that at all. What else are we not, Lewis? I mean, I thought it was going to take longer to talk about what we're not, but that's kind of
you know, one of the things that we are not is the fact that we are not just people trying to go from week to week without doing something or without doing something that we consider a problem or that maybe society might think is a problem. What we are is a group of people who just happens to see each other once a week, but we're more of a family. And
yes,
we all have our things that we struggle with. We all have our things that have brought us to this moment in Pathway, just like a family does. You know, there's no perfection in family. Family is messy, and so are we. And so one of the things that we are is messy. And we are a loving group of people who are going to love our folks and love our family no matter what. And so I think there's that combination. It's hard to say like one thing we are without, or one thing we're not without saying one thing that we are kind of at the same time. So I think maybe one of the things we can do is when we talk about what we are and what we aren't is actually talk a little bit about some of the things that we do when we gather. Whether it's when we gather on Sunday nights or when we gather for studies together, where we're in small groups together, I think some of those things I think might help describe as much of what we are as much as what we are not.
Yeah.
So Wendell, why don't you talk about our small groups and what that is and what how that folds into who we are as a Pathway family.
Yeah. Probably before we do that, it'd be good to talk about some of the issues we bring, and then that determines what our small groups are.
That's true.
We have people with anger issues, we have people with anxiety issues, depression issues, self-harm issues, low self-esteem issues, codependent issues, people who are discovering they're control freaks, they have to control every little, they micromanage life and it's about to kill them. We have people dealing with grief. We have people, help me out.
I know we said it, but we do have people who are alcoholics and who are recovering from either alcoholism or drug addiction, or we've got people who are strictly there because they're lonely.
Yes.
Loneliness is something that we work with and we support on a weekly basis. And especially in the last, 3-4 weeks. And part of the reason why we feel like it's so important to do what we're doing on Sunday nights with the virtual pathway is to kind of help us combat our loneliness. So yeah, loneliness is another one that we deal with a lot.
Yeah. We've even had on some occasions, we've had couples who are, their marriage is in trouble and they've attended pathway and found healing and the marriage was restored. We're not magic. There's no quick cure, but they, what we have found is that you really can't relate to another person in a healthy way until you can relate to yourself in a healthy way. You can't relate to yourself in a healthy way until you relate to God in a healthy way. And kind of the order, the domino effect of it is when I'll tell you my story, but it's true for so many others. When I realized, not in my head, but in my heart, when I realized I was adored by God, that reality, that experience, overcame everything else. If God loves me, then I don't have to worry if everybody else does or not, because God loves me. And so that gives me this feeling of peace, of self-worth, of whatever. Now that I know God loves me, then I can love myself. And when I love myself, then I can love you. And so that's the domino effect. That's the way it happens. And so the lack of love, self-love, and the lack of knowledge that God loves me manifests itself in anger, depression, anxiety, control, all these different things we named. The lack of love is what drives these things. And so when I realize I'm loved, those things begin to become healthy. And we should be angry every now and then. It's this anger that's gone rogue. We should be worried from time to time, but it's when worry goes rogue and dominates life. That's where we need the healing. So we have groups. We generally meet on Thursday nights. We have a men's group and a women's group. We found that it's best to have the gender separate so you can be completely honest in your group. It usually lasts about an hour, hour and a half. We write our own literature. I've written almost all of it. Lou's son, Andrew, has written some of it. He's worked up a book, a workbook that we're going to use when we can get back together. It'll be a second one. So we write our own literature because it's kind of hard to import literature to your family because that literature was written by somebody outside your family. So we know what we're dealing with and we know where we are and who we are. So we write our own stuff. And really all I do when I write my material is I listen in Pathway on Sunday night. I listen in small groups and I take notes. And those notes are then compiled into the next workbook. So I'm just a gatherer of ideas. I gather them, I compile them, I put them in a workbook format. So really Pathway writes its own material. I'm just the moving pen, but they write their own material. And we have two staff groups that meet that use the same material. We have, I have a group of guys I meet with on Monday night who don't even, well, some of them come on Sunday night, but most of them are a part of the bigger Broadway family. We meet on Monday nights. I think there's a group that's meeting at on the Greenwood campus on Monday nights that uses our literature. So we have several small groups, but the emphasis in our small groups is not, people call them classes. I got to go to class tonight. It's not a classroom setting at all. Not even remotely like
no, a classroom it's really setting. Not.
It's more like a living room setting with your family. It, I mean, you said something about that a minute ago about being like family.
Yeah.
And there's a brotherhood, a sisterhood that develops that is unlike anything else. Just, you want to speak to that?
I do. One of the things I think that has come to light for me recently with our groups is, again, when we talk about what it is, you know, it is like, you know, a band of brothers. If you've ever been in the military, you understand what that means. A band of people who do life together and become so close that there's nothing that can separate them and nothing that can keep them from being this band of brothers. So with that in mind, I think one of the things that says, I want to say real quick is another piece of what we're not. These groups are not group therapy. We use the term group, but it's not group therapy. We're not there to fix you.
Yeah.
We're not there to fix anyone. We're there to share life together and share the messy parts together and to be able to talk through those messy parts and work through where stuff that we're having trouble with. We might hear how, you know, another guy in the group, another girl in the group is either dealing with that or dealt with that. We also might hear some things that we might be dealing with that we don't really realize that we're dealing with when we hear other people's stories. And, you know, it's a big story time to break it down into its very basic soul is that we, you know, the workbooks that we use will give us questions to prompt kind of the opening round of conversation. They're questions not written in order to tell us what we're doing wrong. They're questions to allow us to kind of discover who we are in what we're doing and where we're going with it. I think, it makes it a lot easier for us to accept the love that God has for us and the healing that he wants to provide for us and the grace that he keeps pouring out on us even when we screw up, when we know we're not alone. And that again goes all the way back to that whole loneliness thing. And how loneliness can make us feel like we're not loved. And if we're not loved, then why fix something? Or why would we want to work to do something that kind of helps us be more of who we were meant to be if nobody loves us? So that is a big piece of these groups is that, you know, when you're in this group, even if it's the first night you're there, you know that the other people in this room, one, have your back.
Yes.
Period. Two, that what you say in group doesn't leave the room. Period. Three, that at the end of the night, no matter what you said, no matter how you came across, no matter what you confessed to them or did not confess to them, their love for you did not change from the start of the meeting to the end of the meeting. And it won't change after they go home and think about what you said. Because we love each other and it's important that we know that and we can trust that. And in these groups, there's this huge component of trust that we have built. And there's the expectation of that in there that makes it a whole lot easier for us to be able to work through our stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of re-realize that God loves us even in the midst of our messy stuff.
Yeah. We only have two core principles. Like if we had to post them on the wall, we'd have a list of two. That's it. And that's in the small groups and on Sunday night. But the first principle is be real. Bring the living room version of yourself, not the church version, not the work version, but the living room version of yourself. Be real. Take all your fig leaves off. Emotionally, be just stark naked. I mean, that's maybe it's not a good term, but anyway, just be who you are emotionally, relationally, intellectually, spiritually, whatever. Just be who you are. Be real. The second is be loved. Just know that you're going to be loved. It's the first time I ever witnessed this when I first came in to CR back when it was called Celebrate Recovery. I remember a Sunday night when a lady got up front and confessed falling off the wagon that weekend. She had been sober for years, and she didn't know why, but she went out and bought a fifth of vodka and just got wasted. And so she got up front and started to tell the people about this. She's weeping. She's remorseful. She's everything. And I thought, okay, now we're going to see what this is really made of, because people are going to jump her on this. People are going to try to convict her or fix her or kind of push her away, whatever. And the response was just embrace. People just loved and embraced her and supported her. And I thought, whoa, this is not what I expected. But that atmosphere has just grown and deepened in Pathway over the years. We've been at this since 2005. So 15 years of this, nearly 15 years.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember, you know, times like that as well, when, you know, we have all kinds that roll in on a Sunday night. You never know. It's like, you know, it's like Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Box of chocolates.
Because you never know who's going to be there from one week to the next. And I remember one night when we had a lady step up in front. And in the middle of what to her was a church setting, and what to her was a group of people that she didn't know, and a group of people that she may or may not have trusted at that point, stepped in front of us and said, "I am just finishing my transition from male to female."
Yeah, I remember that.
And there are very few things in church life that can start folks that really struggle with fundamentalism to get kicked off than that statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the midst of that, she said she wasn't sure when she came in whether she would be welcome or not. And by the time she got done, she not only knew she was welcome, she had been told by several people, including a pastor who said, "As one of the pastors of this church, you are absolutely welcome here." And it had, honestly, nothing to do with the fact that she was trans. It had to do with the fact that she was a child of God.
Yes.
That God's love pours out through us, period.
Right.
And I think that is another piece of this, that, you know, we want everyone to know that they're welcome here. There's no exceptions. There's no, you got to take a bath before you get in the shower. You know, you got to get cleaned up before you come to church. No, that's not how church works. That's not how we work. And, you know, so that for me was one of those nights, Wendell.
Oh, I remember that.
When she was able to do that and was able to to say that in what she considered to be a church setting. We don't use that term very much in Pathway, as far as us being, you know, we are without a doubt a part of the larger Broadway church
family. Yes. Yes.
You know, we don't hide from that. We don't run from that. It's part of who we are, and they are part of who we are, and we are part of who they are. And we don't run from that connection. But for her to be able to say that in that room with us was very telling, I think. For who Pathway is and who our Pathway family is and is still becoming.
Yes. Yes. What's interesting, that night, there were three of us pastors in the room. That was back when Wayne was still with us.
Yeah.
It was me, Lewis, and Wayne, and we were elbowing each other trying to be the ones to be able to serve her communion that night.
That's right. Who can get to her first?
Yeah, who could? Yeah, because we wanted to make sure she felt loved and accepted.
Yeah.
But that was a telling moment. And we have, I mean, just to be frank, in Pathway, we have people who are very conservative politically and people who are very liberal politically. And we can talk about that. And there is no fighting. There's no arguing. There's just love and embrace. There's just, I appreciate your conviction for what you think and what you believe. And you appreciate mine. And so that's our two rules, is be real. Don't change. Be who you are and be loved. And it works.
It absolutely does.
I think it would be good, maybe, just to walk us through a small group real quick, and then walk us through a Sunday night real quick. Just okay. So if you want to come to one of these things, what can you expect? So you come to a small group, you come into one of the B. Oliver, the Wesley room, one of the Welcome Center Sunday School rooms, whatever. You come to a room, there's somebody going to be a facilitator. They're not a leader. They're just a facilitator that gets the ball rolling. They read the lesson that's in the workbook, session, lesson, whatever you want to call it. Well, they introduce themselves, just like Lewis and I just did. They introduce themselves, and then they read the session, and then read the first question, and then they answer the first question themselves. When you're answering your question, nobody else is allowed to say a word. They don't. If you break down and start crying, they don't shove the Kleenex at you. They let you create your space. If you ask for the Kleenex, they'll shove it. But otherwise, they do not interrupt you in any way. They don't try to hug you. They don't try to touch you. They don't nothing. They just, you are free to share and emote however you want to in answering that question.
Right.
When you're done, they say, thank you, so-and-so. It goes to the next person. They introduce themselves. They answer the same question. No crosstalk anywhere. They answer, goes around the circle. We usually have two questions, maybe three, but you just go around the circle. The virtue of this is you can share uninterrupted, but the side effect that none of us saw coming is everybody else in the room is subconsciously trained to be good listeners. This recovery minister creates good listeners, because of the simple rule is when they're talking, you can't say anything. Uh-huh. So I all of a sudden realized I'm better at listening to people than I used to be. Why is that? And I thought, well, every session you're in, every week, you have to sit there and listen to 5 or 10 other people share. Yeah. So that's the small group.
That's why I said about small groups that, especially small groups, this is not a replacement for therapy. This is not therapy, because you're not going to get handed answers in these groups.
Right. And
so, you know, that for me is a big plus for that.
One of the other positive side effects of these small groups is as you share and as you listen to other people, in 2 or 3 weeks in, you realize there are certain people you resonate with in the group. And it's very appropriate after the group, you know, in a month or so, to say, hey, you want to go out and get a coffee or something? And you form a relationship with that other person. And before long, you might have a lifelong recovery partner, somebody who locks arms with you and walks, because their story, your story, they resonate together. May not even be similar, but you resonate together.
That happened with Wendell and I at Steak and Shake.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where it started. Yeah. Yep. On a Sunday night, and jump in anytime, Lou. On a Sunday night, we typically start gathering about 5 o'clock. The band, which Lou and I are both in the band, we gather at like 4:45 and start practicing in the cup. We'll talk about the band in a minute. We're not right. We're whacked and crazy because that's what we try to be. But the main Pathway family gathers about 5 o'clock in the atrium. That's the entrance into the MAC. And people bring food, everything from salads to pizza to stew to chili to fried chicken to desserts and chips.
Deviled eggs.
Oh, yeah, deviled eggs.
Those are my favorite.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And there's coffee and tea and cold drinks and cold water and everything else. So people just gather out there. They start trickling in about 5. And just post up and have fellowship for like an hour. You catch up on the week. Recovery partners can pair up and talk about how things are going. It's just a really uber laid back, just super relaxed time. At 6, we gather in the cup. And really the only semblance of church is that there's a front and there's pews or seats, chairs. It's really not like a regular church service other than that. We start out with some butt kicking crazy rock and roll music. We do the Beatles, we've done Zeppelin, we've done Aerosmith, we do a lot of Zach Williams. We do
Stevie Wonder.
Oh, Stevie Wonder. We did who did Sweet Home Alabama? Is that Skinner? Mm-hmm. I forget who. Yeah, we did that one night in honor of Wayne after he passed. I'm just trying to think. We do lots of Christian rock and roll, but we do a lot of just positive secular rock and roll. And the big thing is that we practice very little. So we don't really care whether we mess up or not. We just have fun. We've had people out of the audience run up and grab a mic and sing with us. We have people in the audience get up and grab other people and want to dance with them. We have people who film us on their smartphones all the time.
You'll have seen that.
Yeah.
Leading into what we're doing tonight. So.
Yeah. It's spontaneous. It's just spontaneous. They will yell at us. We'll yell at them. It's just so laid back. It's just like your living room, or maybe having a party on your back deck. We always have a host. We have several really good hosts, and they usually get up after one song and share some really good, pertinent thought that has been on their mind and heart, and it's always helpful. That's worth the price of admission right there. Oh, there is no price of admission, but anyway. And then the band will do like 4 more songs, just back to back to back. And that's where the energy really builds, and you could just tell, okay, everybody is feeling safe. That's a big thing. We want everybody to feel safe. That's where everybody feels safe. That's where they feel relaxed. And then after that, there's either a lesson, and I teach the bulk of the lessons, but there are other teachers as well. We try to tap people on the shoulder and say, can you come and share with us? We have people who share their story. They just get up and, you know, share their story, and then
call that a lestimony.
Yeah, lestimony, because it's a lesson and a testimony together. Lestimony. We take up an offering, I guess, because you're supposed to. I don't know. And then our end game changes from Sunday night to Sunday night. We may read the 8 steps. We may give people a chance to come up get tokens. One night a month, we try to have communion. Lou usually leads that. It's awesome. People really get into that. What else do we do?
Sometimes we'll just find a short video of either somebody that we know, or if we find something that's kind of short and sweet but hits right to the point of something that we've been working on, either in our groups or on Sunday nights, then you know, we might show that. We might just show a video of a particular song that is speaking to us, that that we want to share with the whole group. So it really does depend week to week. We do we put at least a fair amount of planning into what we want to do, but we also kind of leave all of it open to what's going on in that moment. I mean, if somebody is, if we're going to have, say, one night we're going to do this, the steps, and we've got somebody who is celebrating a milestone, whether that milestone is time working their, working their issues, or time that they've been sober, or something great is really going on in their lives, and as a family they want us to know about that, and as a family we want to know about that, then, you know, we'll pitch the 8 steps and hear from them.
Yep.
And it it's pretty amazing. Sometimes we get waylaid by something that we never could have planned for, and turns out to be this incredibly holy moment. Watch out. You know, Wayne used to say, watch out for the holy moments, because they're going to sneak up on you. And they do. And he looked at every moment that you spend with someone in discussion or in community together as a holy moment. And that we get to see in each other and in ourselves Christ being in us, and having a conversation with Christ through them, and they're having a conversation with Christ through us. And it's part of that's part of what I think Wendell calls the magic of Pathway. Are in those moments, that we couldn't have planned, those moments that you know, a month and a half ago, I guess now, I don't even know, we introduced a new song to our family on a Sunday night, and they just came unglued, and worship broke out even more so than it normally does. And we got to the point at the end of the night where we decided we need to probably do that song again, just to give them something to do on, you know, to hold on to as we leave. And so we did. And it's not something we had ever done before, but it absolutely capped off the night with this holy moment that we were able to experience together as family. So,
Probably to close this discussion, unless you've got something else, Lou, the biggest thing is that we want people to feel safe. People who normally go to church and they think, I'm not sure I feel comfortable in a recovery ministry. I don't know what to expect there. I would say to you, we actually set the chairs up where there are some chairs on the back row that are extra spaced from each other. They're close to an exit, literally, close to an exit. You can slip in and slip out whenever you want. You, if you feel uneasy, you can just get up and leave as if you're using the restroom, and then just don't come back. We really concentrate on making people feel safe. So we set the chairs up that way. And you hear Lou and I talking about people getting up and talking, and you may think, well, will I have to talk? No. We have people who have come for years and have never said a peep, and they're just as loved and valued as everybody else. But this is a place where you do have a chance to talk if you need to. But if you don't want to, it's safe just to be quiet. You're never pressured in any way to do or say or not do or not say anything. You're just free to be who you are in that given moment. And you will be loved for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And maybe in the very closing tail end of this, I don't even know how to say this. It sounds so abrasive. But Pathway is kind of in a cul-de-sac. It's not on the main drag. We're like in an inconvenient time. Most people Sunday evening are like, I'm getting ready to go to work the next day. And that's bothered me in the past, but now it doesn't. And I think it's good that Pathway is at a time and a place where people have to put forth a concerted effort to go. We don't want just passing by curiosity seekers. Oh, I wonder what's going on there. I'll just go take a look. If you're just curious about it, call me or Lou. We'll talk to you about it. You don't even have to bother yourself to come. We'll talk to you about it if you're just curious. But if you're hurting, or you're confused, or you're lonely, you know, if you're bleeding out in any way, then we're probably for you. And you are so welcome to come. And I tell everybody when they come, if you come one time, you are automatically part of the family. You don't have to come for a long time to become a part of the family. One time qualifies. You are part of the family, and you will be loved as such from that point on. And so if you're hurting in any way, when we start gathering again, we'd love to see you. We're crazy. We're whacked out. Just know that. But we do know how to love people, and you will feel loved. You got anything you want to say? I guess you're going to lead us in the serenity prayer. You got anything you want to say before we do that?
Yeah. One thing, I grew up in an Italian family, a big Italian family. And one of the things that my mother always said to all my friends, to anyone that I ever brought to the house, once you pass over the threshold to our home, you're no longer a guest. You're part of our family. And that's where we are with this. And once you have the, once you're brave enough to take that first step, and I think for some of us that is a very brave thing to do. Once you're brave enough to take that first step, you're part of our family. Even if you only come one time, don't come back for 6 months. When you come back, hey, welcome home.
Yep.
That's how it works for us. Yep. And one of the things that, and I know that we do this a lot, in Italian families, we tend to gather at the door when people are leaving, and it take another 10, 15 minutes to get people out the door because, oh, you remember this or that. And so one of the things that we do when we gather at the door to Pathway at the end of the night is we say the Serenity Prayer, which does come from a long tradition of recovery. But it is so appropriate for what we do and so spot on for us. And so we're going to do that again. We're going to, again, close your eyes. Imagine you're in the circle at the end of the night. When we gather to go, we come together in a big, not ever circle. And we hold hands or we go elbow to elbow. And we recite this prayer together, and we do that because it's one more piece of unity and one more piece of being together as family. So I want to encourage you. I want you to, the words are going to be right down here. I want you to encourage you to pray this prayer with me tonight as we prepare to go. And so let's pray together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Keep coming back. God loves you, and I love you. And yes, we will see you next week.